It is Wednesday. We're heading towards Christmas, the end of the year. It is fucking fantastic. I love this time of year. We had some nice rain, proper rain for the first time. It's like soaking into the ground. And you could see the sky of Johannesburg was actually clear this morning. I could see like so far into the distance, I actually thought, this can't be Joburg. What is this? So what's the trick? I thought we had more pollution than anywhere else in South Africa. Well, not this morning. It's great. The air is clean. You can take big, deep breaths. Christmas is coming. If you haven't done your shopping, you're in big shit because this is the week. But we're doing a live show this morning, and I've got the comments section alive and well by the looks of things. So good morning to you, motherfuckers. And most especially, good morning to everybody who's joining us who's not in the comments section, who's afraid because the comments section's so terrifying. We've got producers James and Flex standing by to receive your kindness and your what would you say? Congratulations for a show that we are going to do without any technical fuck-ups this morning. That's the plan. Right, guys? Yay! Exciting times. And in my ongoing quest to bring you actual friends of mine from my real life, I've decided to invite this morning amateur adult star and human trafficker and arms dealer. And those are his top three because he's got a lot of things on his CV that he could do. He is none other than, and I promise you this is his real name, is Tanner Fox. How are you, dude?
Yeah, well, thanks, didn't you, G?
Oh, fucking great. I'm happy to have you here.
Love the title.
I love the fact that I had to, the only time I now get to see some of my friends is when I actually invite you on the show.
Yeah, life's been a bit busy. Yeah.
You have been busy. You moved house. Shopping. You've been trying
to make some good adult decisions. And try my best at least.
Please. Phone me when you have.
I'll try my best. I think I lost your number though, but we'll catch up.
Yeah, go to hell. Yes, I've known this guy for more than a decade now.
Yeah, more than a decade.
And he has definitely made me laugh a lot more than most people. We've had some extremely, extremely funny holidays and good times.
And dangerous.
And definitely dangerous, yeah, which involve weapons and various other things. Of
barrels. Kind of,
yes, yeah, and some of our friends who probably should be put in cages. Definitely.
Unintended.
Yeah, without a doubt. So what's been happening with you? I saw, by the way, so Tanner actually used to do a little bit of modeling, and I see you picked that up again this last
Correct.
Couple of days. Yeah. Now, this was meant to be a joke, because do you remember?
it was 2 years ago, New Year's.
2 years ago, we said to you, oh, yeah, you should be one of the models for Burbul. And you were like, no, Oaks, don't.
After
you'd carried a tree, by the way. All right, so let me just explain the context of this. We were away for New Year, and somebody made the mistake of saying to Tanner, the fire looks like it's dying out. Would you just bring some wood? And he disappears for, I don't know, like 2.5 minutes. And he arrives back with a tree, but like
a tree.
I don't know. It was 12 foot high. And it was the biggest chunk of wood. I don't know what you found it somewhere in the bush. I don't know what you did. You brought this thing and it took like 3 days to burn.
Which
and
was
I don't
fantastic.
Think, I don't even
rather
think
we, resourceful.
Sure. I thought that was very clever. but having said that, we all decided on that weekend that it was probably a good idea for you to become one of those oaks who wore the small shorts. The Dutchman short shorts and the rest of their Burbul outfits.
Yeah.
Because I mean you spend a lot of time outdoors anyway.
Correct.
So it would have been a good match. And it turns out that you've actually taken up the challenge.
The challenge and right. It's been fantastic. So I've been a part of them. Get to wear my Burbul shorts all day, every day. And the versatility in them, I mean you can wear them to church if you want. You can wear
there
them.
We go.
You can wear them to work. You can wipe your hands on them when you brine. You know, that's the versatility.
Sounds like we all need to get some.
I would pay a lot
for
of money
summer.
To see that.
Yeah, but I think we should all get them. I once did the terrible. Well, I undertook a challenge, and this is like when we just become friends, and we had a whole bunch of people at my house. And the girls decided it was time for a like leg competition. You know, these dumb things you do when you're like drunk.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I'm going to win this easily. I hadn't taken into consideration that Tanner was there which meant that I lost.
Kind I'd say badly. It was a tie. I think we can be modest. Please. You can say it was
you
a
could
tie.
Kickstart a jumbo jet with those legs. Anyway, so look, we got quite a lot to talk about this morning. We got a guest popping in a little bit later on. Somebody called Brad. He's actually been on the show before, and he is a let me just give him proper credit here, because I don't want to call him things that he isn't. So he's a Reiki professional. He does shamanic walk. He uses numerology to analyze life cycles, and he can assist individuals in achieving their goals. And he's done, I think the last time he did this for me was probably 2, maybe even 3 years ago, where he said to me, these are some of the things that are going to happen to you in the next year. And he got, I'd say he probably got like 6 out of 10, which is not bad. So I thought this year, with the new year coming, be a good idea to have him come in and check our charts, make sure that everything's looking good.
Did he come with his battle helmet?
he's going to need it. but there's good news all around. So in his real life, Tanner also deals with money. And I mean, who doesn't, right? But I mean, you deal sometimes with other people's money.
Yeah,
so here's some good news to start your morning, and something that we need to hear at the beginning of our day. As we head into the Christmas season, apparently South Africa has experienced its first net inflows of foreign investors to its debt and equity markets since 2022. Very, very good news, driven by a coalition government aiming to boost economic growth. Well, that's what they say anyway. If you're going to rely on politicians completely, I mean, obviously you have to rely on them a little bit. You want stability, at very least. You want certainty. You want to know what the policies are going to be, even if they're shit policies. At least you have some idea of what's coming. And it turns out that portfolio inflows have reached 45.6 billion rand in Q3, which is very good news. Non-residents buying local debt and domestic shares. Market sentiment has improved since the ANC aligned with 9 of their rivals in the GNU. So I heard a funny joke about the GNU last night. I saw Nina Hasty. We were busy filming something. And she said to me, I've got this joke for you about the GNU. No, I don't want to screw it up. She says, isn't it nice that we had our elections this year and we've now got this government of national unity, the GNU. And you pronounce it new because she says the G is silent. I don't know if it's her strongest work, to be perfectly honest, but I think she's trying very hard. Oh,
it's
man.
A finesse to the word.
Yeah, I mean, have you noticed? Because I'm talking to people and they're saying the shops are full. There's a lot of money being spent again. Feels to me like people are easing up.
It's confidence. I think there's a lot of confidence picking up.
I hope so. I really do. I just feel we need people to feel safe. We need people to feel like there's an economy that we are able to participate in.
Rely on.
Yeah, and that we're not going to be in survival mode forever.
Correct.
Because we've been like that, I think, economically in this country for like the last 10 years, probably. Then there are lots of people here talking about what else is going on. I see kids are finally on holiday, says Vyasin, so I can listen and comment on a full episode. Uh-oh, get ready. He's going to be climbing in, hook, line, and sinker. Gee, you've become more esoteric. Well done on being so humbly open, says Rebellious Ruth. Am I? I don't know. I think I'm pretty consistent.
Yeah.
I think I've changed that much. You would know. You'd know better than mind you, some of these people have known me longer than you, just in terms of the show.
Sorry, I feel sorry for them.
Thanks.
I mean,
thanks
like
very
in
much.
The best way possible, you know.
All right. Jesus, you're an asshole. Why did we invite him here again, guys?
I thought it was just coffee, to be honest.
Oh, well, you haven't even brought any coffee. All right, so let's get into some of the stuff that I wanted to laugh about this morning. So if you're buying Christmas presents right at the moment, there are a couple of ideas, and I'm very impressed. Lego always seems to come out with good shit. I got two little nephews. They love Lego. My brother's probably more obsessed with Lego than anyone I know, but they've brought out these brilliant new sets. And the first one is, this will remind many people on this morning's show of friends that they know, people online, people that they may even have followed once. You probably don't follow them anymore because anyone who behaves like this all the time is kind of annoying. But you know, everyone's like a trader these days. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows how to buy Bitcoin or stocks or gold. Or you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always have like 20 screens. Well, Lego's brought out the Finance Bro Lego set. Look at that. And who doesn't know a douchebag who post pictures and shit like that all the time, right? isn't that exactly what you'd expect to see?
I think it's every second swipe on Instagram.
Right. And you can see it's perfect for ages 8 to 4, which is precisely the mental age of most finance bros. and they always tell you that they're winning and that they're making lots of money.
Meanwhile, they're about 20% down on their good day.
And they live in their car. there's also a great Lego set here. This is one for people who are a little bit more into risk and building things that are reminders of how badly civilization can fall apart. A Chernobyl set. This is great. So if you want a broken down reactor on fire, that's a nice one for Christmas. Lovely. And that's for ages, I think, 4 to 4, which is very specific. Clearly, we want our 4-year-olds to learn all about nuclear plants that go bust.
That burn down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fallout, radiation. You know, the elephant's foot.
Yeah, the elephant's foot.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's sensei. Oh.
Jesus. Yeah. Right in the middle of that, they've got, and there's still places in Chernobyl, in that whole area that you can't go.
It's just too radioactive.
Yeah, and they've tried to, I think they've poured it, just a huge slab of concrete over the entire thing to try and contain it. And I still.
Do that to one of my exes.
I'm not going to ask which one. But yeah, it's one way to contain them. Mm. And if you know someone who's very unstable and possibly radioactive, then that's really the only solution is just pour concrete right over them. Of course, it would be a good idea to first put them out of their misery because otherwise they scream while the concrete's still settling. Sometimes you get cracks.
That's why they've limited to 4 to 4, not 4 to 6. You don't have any rational.
Yeah, yeah. And you certainly don't want to... You don't want to be taking any of Tanner's advice through the course of this show.
Except financial, possibly. Maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, so that's a thing you've been doing for mostly medical professionals for
correct,
a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, so going on, it's my 8th year now.
No, so you really do know what you're talking about.
I'd like to believe so, but always learning, always adapting.
So does this include things like medical insurance for them?
Yeah, medical insurance,
because,
full turnkey.
Okay, so just for the purposes of, first of all, you and I don't talk work very often, but... And I don't do that with any of my friends. I realized the other day, some of them, I don't even know what they do. But I do know this about you.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me how doctors now, and I think it comes from America where everyone's so litigious, but doctors can be sued. And sure, there are, you know, the good and bad doctors. But doctors can be sued and they can be put out of practice and out of business if one patient decides something went wrong and they successfully managed to get that doctor into court, they could be sued in their personal capacity and fined like millions and millions of rands, right?
The liabilities, you know, in certain professions, I mean, you've got obstetrics that sit with the liability until children are over 18. So, I mean, you're sitting now with social media, access to information, people just trying to be spiteful.
You mean that there are women whose children have grown up and are 18 years old who are still going to try and sue their obstetrician because the kid ends up being a bit of a failure. Well, ma'am, I don't think it's the doctor's fault by that stage. Yeah, all right. By that stage, it's yours.
There we go. So.
Sure.
No, but there's a full, I mean, obviously insurances, products, different investment styles, strategies, but influence from markets. There's a whole
and it's
host
a very
of
specialized field.
Correct. Yeah.
It's not like selling me insurance.
No, it's different dynamics, different needs, different products. So.
And of course, I'd be interested at another stage to talk to you for a long time about NHI, because I think that's something which people don't understand how so many of our taxpayers. And by the way, I found this interesting thing this week on, I think it was the Daily Investor, which is one of the things I follow on Instagram. They just occasionally put up these interesting little infographics. This is one that came out this week. South Africa's latest tax statistics report revealed that 1,660,182 people pay 76.2% of all the personal income tax, which is the largest category in South Africa.
Sure.
That means, and they summarize it just under, 3% of people in this country pay 76% of all personal income tax. 3% of people. And I'll tell you what, a large percentage of that 3% is doctors.
Yeah. Well, high income earners, yeah.
So if you are going to implement Minister of Health, the NHI, you're going to be making it more difficult for that 3% to earn kind of money that they are in order to pay the tax that they are.
Correct.
In order for you to get that tax, in order for you to run the government. So good luck, assholes. It's not going to end well. And I can promise you now, doctors, we need to look after in this country. There's no one I know who says, you know, the one place I'm willing to skimp.
Yeah.
I think I'll take my chances with like some fly-by-night doctor. Said no one ever. No. When you have health problems, that's what you
want to go to the best. You want to ensure that you're looked after by the best. And
correct.
I mean, it's that expectation scenario. I mean, you bring in NHR, you bring in these dynamics that are going to limit these professionals. Already they're leaving because of other dynamics. Now you're just going to squeeze them to a point. Yeah. And if you look at our basic inflows, I mean, the activity that happens in your Baragwanath hospitals, your localized hospitals, it's a movie.
Yeah. And you've got people. The activities. Is that what you call them?
I'm going to just refer to it as activities in inverted.
Shit. All right. We're not going to get too serious this morning because it is just before Christmas. I went to the shops last week. I think I spoke about this on the show at some point last week, and it was busy, you know, like you forget that these malls, these huge, big shopping malls are like it works. Someone built them. And I always think we've got too many in this country. And you go to one of them and you say,
there's people everywhere,
like people, they can't get enough of this. And I don't know whether they're actually spending or which window shopping, but it looks to me like,
foot this traffic is going to be a foot traffic.
Sure, but this is going to be a bumper season. So good luck if you have to go to any of those places in the next couple of days. So speaking of Christmas, there is there's one Christmas song which always raises its ugly head this time of year. And I found two versions of this song, which are the new shittest version of a Christmas song I've ever heard. You could probably guess what it is. You could play either one first, but let's just you choose, guys. Which one do you want first of these versions of this song?
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, you saved me from death. I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, you saved me from death. I'll give it to someone special.
Yes, I give it to someone special. I like that one. That is the Spanish Lady Gaga. You can see how attractive she is. They put her on screen as little as possible during the course of her own music video. They use a whole lot of other people to market this video. But I do like the accent. She goes, I give you my heart, but the very next day you give it away. This year, to save you from tears, I give it to someone special. So very authentic. I like that. That's the Spanish, the most famous Spanish singer of all. Well, that's what they tell me. Mm-hmm. I don't know to believe them or not. I really hope so for Spain. If that's all you got, guys, you're in big shit. But then the best one, and I think she's done a couple of versions. She's figured out now that she's a viral sensation for putting out the first one. But I keep seeing her in the feed doing this. I don't follow this woman. I should. Maybe we all should. But here she is. She just makes up the words as she goes, like so many five-year-olds.
Okay? 4 to 4-year-olds.
4 to 4-year-olds. So here we go. Take a look. This is the best one.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, and you got the next day,
you got the next day.
Is it some from me, and even special?
I'm trying to work out if the guys are supposed to be on the Christmas tree or not.
So you said what, her?
I don't, the thing in her hand, or if it's on her finger, is it supposed to go on the Christmas tree or hang outside?
Yeah. I think that's also to distract from her. But these years, I'll give it to someone, Happy Christmas special, whatever. She just makes it up. So I don't know. I mean, I know George Michael's dead and Wham is no longer a thing, but to see the various versions of that song that have been put out in the last couple of months, it's having a resurgence, and it's a shit resurgence. What can we say?
We could do better, a lot better.
We could do a lot better. All right. So one of the things that we will probably talk about with Brad a little bit later on, because we've got a whole year in 2025 to look ahead to. But one of the things that I think many people are talking about right now is in human pet relationships. This is something Tanner wanted to discuss too, because you've got one extremely crazy dog.
Correct, yeah.
And your dog has been a guest at my house on several occasions too. Mm-hmm. And I would say there's definitely a half the brain missing.
On the dog or me?
Well, probably both. Probably both of you.
That's why it's a match.
Okay, but luckily,
yeah,
you're dating an actual vet.
Correct.
Who can work on you and the dog simultaneously.
Correct.
So well done, Liesl. Thank you for your service. Thank you for looking after not only mad animals, but also mad humans like this guy.
I'm a fox at the end of the day.
So. That's true. You are a fox. That is actually a surname. Mm-hmm. So just tell me quickly, when you are worrying about human and pet relationships, when do you think it's gone overboard? I mean, I've got Alice, who's this one dog, and she is the most spoiled dog in the whole world. Mm-hmm. She hardly spends any time on her own, sometimes looks at you as if, you know, she's judging you, mm-hmm, because she's been treated like a human.
Yeah.
Is that unhealthy? Do you think that there's a line that you cross? Do you think that some people are too attached to their pets?
Well, in my opinion, I mean, I love my dog more than most people.
And sure.
I'd rather spend time with my animals or dog,
yeah,
more so than people. And I think at the end of the day, as long as you've got, you know, the love and caring, I mean, it doesn't really matter what your relationship is. Are you happy? Is the animal happy?
Yeah. And I think it's a sign of, I attribute a little bit more to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you'll agree with this. I think probably a lot of people will. If you are nice to animals and you have a good relationship with your pet or pets, chances are you're a stable, individual, nice person.
Correct.
The immediate red flag to anybody, whether it's friendship, relationships, business, whatever, is if someone is just horrible to animals. Obviously that immediately denotes you as some kind of psychopath.
Yeah.
But then it can also give you some insight into what that person is like when you're not watching. In other words, if the animal is cowering and unhappy,
it's an immediate reflection of.
Yeah. I think that's the kind of person you want to avoid, right?
Correct. But then on the extreme end, and I always bring this up as a joke, you get your intensive people with animals. Now you've got, not to.
Like cat ladies.
A crazy cat lady.
Yeah, sure. You know? It's a real thing. No, it is a thing. You know, with this crazy cat ladies. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. This is toxoplasmosis. This is an actual situation that happens with women in particular who own many cats. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that's a thing. There are guys who have cats too. It's a bit sus, but what can you?
You know? Each to their own.
Sure. I mean, maybe you don't have a lot of space. Maybe, you know, cats are you can get. But crazy cat ladies are a real thing because, you know, there's a kind of bacterium in cat shit.
Feces, yeah.
Yeah. And this is, it doesn't affect the cat, but it drives
the owner,
the owner and mice, rats, rodents crazy, because the toxoplasmosis wants to, obviously, it wants to increase its population within a certain animal as a parasite or
host, yeah,
a host or in the environment in general. And the things that happen as a result of the toxo is that the owners start going a bit crazy. They do actually develop, and they've tracked these studies. They've done research on these women who have more than like three or four cats, and kind of. And I know some people like this, and they're definitely insane. So it's a real thing.
Well, there we go. So, but that's also, I mean, in dogs' worlds, I mean, I don't see anyone going a bit Looney Tunes with having several dogs.
No.
Then it does smell like wet dog everywhere. And
one of our other mutual friends once,
I know exactly where this is going.
He went home with this girl from some nightclub or whatever. And she had like a lot of dogs. And
he didn't know that at first.
No, he had no idea. And then the one was like, I think a Great Dane or something.
I think it was like two or three large breed dogs.
And he got there and he was like getting excited because now, you know, the action was going to happen. And then he realized, like, something doesn't smell right. It was dog shit all over the house. So it can get out of control with dog owners, just like with cat owners, except it's a different kind of out of control.
Do you know how he got out of that scenario, by the way?
I don't recall. I just remember laughing very hard at how he got into the situation.
He decided to say that he was actually married and that he made a mistake.
Which he wasn't. Yes. Which very he was. That's a clever move.
Good way to get out of Dodge.
Have you ever used that line that you're married?
No. No. Unfortunately, I've like to say I've made good decisions in life. Marginally.
I don't think so. We'll figure that out. Now, you may be making better ones now, but I don't know.
That's how you live and you learn.
So just to, this is interesting for Dr. Robin, who says, as an OBGYN, we were forced to digitize a few years ago because of the weight of our filing room, which was threatening the floor below, since we've had to maintain records for 21 years, precisely because of what you brought up. Yeah. Consumerism is an apocalyptic phenomena. South Africa is the new America, says Goon. Yeah, I think there is something that worries me a little bit about, you know, the shops, fast food outlets, the kind of instant gratification culture that we live in now. And it's worth discussing, but I don't know if I want to this morning.
A bit dark and dingy for Christmas.
Yeah, and I think let people have their fun for now, right? And then somebody says here, the guy's got the lighting in the studio correct. You see, proper gender with some compliments for you boys. Very nice. Our fur babies, absolutely precious, says Ruth. Raven says, if you love your pet, we love you. Did you know that it's a law to feed your animals before you feed yourself in Jewish law? I did not know that, but man, I always think that there's probably nothing worse than seeing someone who, and I mean, your girlfriend will know about this, who's just, who doesn't look after. Yeah, they neglect the animals and then they end up being sent off to like the SPCA, if they're lucky, because sometimes they just, you know, these people who go on holiday, can we just talk about them for a second? I know there are people who live all over South Africa, have pets, keep them in like a confined space, but usually it's okay if they're taking them walking or whatever. And they go on holiday. And sometimes they ask someone if they are slightly responsible. They ask someone to feed the dog and like look after the dog or whatever, for like a week or more. And they disappear and they just leave the animal there and barks or goes wandering or whatever.
Correct.
And I really don't understand how people could do that. I cannot imagine having a pet and just being that kind of derelict. You just let it sit there on its own for like weeks at a time because you're in, I don't know, Titi's Bay or whatever. Right?
No, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. My holidays actually depend or are decided by whether or not I can take my dog and if it's going to be a you know, sort of a healthy environment for everyone. You know, if I do go away, if it's business trips, things like that, then my dog will generally go to someone who will actually look after them as if it were their own or, you know, her equivalent friends.
And there are places now that you can send animals that are like pet hotels.
Very good hotels.
Where they get looked after very, very well. I mean, I think they're probably pricey, but then you decided to get a pet. So, yes, that's you should look 10 after
10-plus year commitment.
So I didn't know that, Ruth, but that's interesting. I have a friend who runs a feral project. She needs fosters badly, especially around Pretoria. Yeah, I think that's terrible. Get your cats to cuck outside, then you got to win us, is Bitcoin Boot. and then Mel says, if my fur kids can't come on holiday, we don't go. We holiday at home. Okay, so this is where I think to bring
there's
up
a line.
What you you brought up. The subject of like, how do you know you're crazy as a pet owner? And I think there is a line. Like, for example, my parents won't go anywhere. Oh, the dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to
live your life.
You can't lock yourself up in your house because of your animals. And yes, they'll be alone for a little bit and you get someone to come and look after them. Get one of your children to go and look after them. Get somebody to house sit or pet sit or whatever. And they're good people who can do that.
Correct. Qualified. In inverted commas, people. So,
Is there a qualification?
I don't know. Well, I'd say seasoned, experienced.
Okay, so in other words, like some other crazy cat lady, he'll come and look after your crazy cat.
What better person?
Our workload, the vets, says Hanmin, because she's also a vet, triples over the holidays. People get drunk. They drive over their pets. They leave their gates open. They feed them bones, all kinds of terrible shit. Is that what your girlfriend tells you? Like, this is prime time for work?
I mean, if I look at the way her roster's been running, she's been very busy.
Jesus.
So, yeah, I mean, she works in an emergency hospital or specialist hospital. So, yeah.
No, and she's one of those people. I mean, the little bit that I know about her is that she actually really loves animals.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of animals, big ones and small ones and horses.
Human-looking ones.
Human, even fuckheads like you.
I needed it.
But she is, and I think you have to be a vet.
Mm. No, you've got to be an extremely compassionate.
It's like the doctors that actually care about their patients, the ones who are there to just do the job.
Correct, yeah.
You know the difference immediately.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting story. My cousin, according to Vyasin, has three German shepherds that sleep in his bed with his wife and himself. I can't figure out if it's the dogs or him that makes his room stink.
I mean, 3-to-1 ratio.
Yeah, it's probably the dogs. Although, I mean, you got to check his general health, Vyasin. I don't know. Listen, I like a working dog. So your dog is a gun dog.
Yeah, working dog, yeah.
Which is amazing. And one of the things that Tana and I like to do, we don't do it often enough, is go shooting. In fact, I sent you that one video of all of us, well, a few of us. There were what, how many?
Probably about six or seven.
Six of us, yeah. With many weapons and many rounds of ammunition that were fired off that weekend. Not at things, but at
a shooting range.
Yeah, it was at a target. And we like the diversity of weapons. There are rifles and there are carbines and there are handguns and there are
over
shotguns
and semi-autos. And
so see if you can spot me and Tanner in this quick video clip. And I think that was filmed with a drone.
Yo, we were trying to miss the drone.
No, we weren't. But yeah, I mean, that's a fun thing to do. Yeah. But I mean, and I always talk about this because I'm also a responsible firearm owner. You have to be if you're going to own one legally in this country. Mm. You carry it around with you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and therefore you can sort shit out
competence
if shit happens.
And
right.
If needed. I mean, you'd and really
how
hope
do you go to the range?
I try to go at least once a month, if not once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's just a competence thing. If I ever feel that I'm not competent, then I won't be carrying around.
Give up your gun.
Absolutely.
I always think that there's so many rules that they make you follow that it's actually impossible to be an irresponsible firearm owner.
Correct.
And you have to keep it in a safe. The safe has to be in. They come and inspect you. Yeah. You have to go for your every couple of years. You have to hand in your. If you're a member of a shooting club, which I know you are too.
Yeah.
You have to hand in your targets every couple of months. You have to go for
your dedicated status.
Yeah, correct. Some target shooting. Make sure that you send in your patterns. Mm. Let them know what your gun's condition is. You've got to be able to clean it. All of that sort of thing, which people who don't have them don't understand this. They go, we don't like guns or whatever. It's just not an argument.
But there's a different level of responsibility with them, which is great.
100%. Mm. So here we go. My dogmatics, says Slippery Pickle, can't abide shooting, thunder, or fireworks. He always thinks the sky is falling. Obviously, it's different with a dog like yours.
Yeah. No, some dogs are wired to enjoy that, and others, unfortunately, haven't been brought up in an environment where those noises are normal. So, but I mean, if my dog sees a gun bag, she literally drags me out the house. So
yeah, she gets very excited. Yeah, she makes a noise and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Starts banging.
So how do you square the circle of people who say they can tell that you love animals, but you are a hunter?
So I think it's as black as white as, you know, are you a hunter for the purpose of status and ego? In the sense of I'm purely just trophy hunting for the sake to get that title.
To show other people.
To show other people and brag about it. Or are you doing it for, as we always refer to it, as the pot? And if you're a person that goes out and, you know, you're a meat eater and you enjoy that type of food, well, go and shoot something that's, you know, allowed on consignment, that's got a purpose. And at the end of the day, you go with a proper pH. They say this one's at its, you know, life's end. And you utilize everything from A to Z.
And I mean, the last time that we actually went to one of our mutual friends for supper, we had some fantastic venison,
correct,
which is really good. And anybody who doesn't eat that, you're missing out. Mm. I think it's way better for you on almost every metric.
Every metric.
Yeah, it's like really, it's good stuff. But my rule is always I don't shoot anything that could eat me.
Fair point.
So I don't shoot predators. I wouldn't shoot. And I have no interest in shooting things like crocodile. I mean, they just lie there. There's no sport in
There's no sport in it. And I mean, also, there's no use for it. I mean, I'm not going to go make a crocodile handbag or man bag, if you want to put it that way.
But you do have a man bag for your gun.
Oh, given, yes. It's not
Tanner,
crocodile.
Tanner came in here this morning, pranced in with his handbag. I was like, what the hell is that? He's like, oh, it's just my gun. That's why I brought it up.
There we go.
Yeah, I think that's one of the few activities that are still available for guys if they want to do manly things, because a whole lot of those things are just not available anymore.
Correct.
And for people who live in cities and for people who want to do stuff like that, there's really it's you can go to gym, you can move heavy things around, you could actually work in construction, you could do stuff around the house, but there aren't a lot of other things that you could do as a guy that are acceptable manly pursuits. So if you can shoot or hunt, it's like a little bit of an outlet. And I know there are lots of women, and you know, we sometimes on this show I tend to like make a lot of fun of girly guys and like sigma and beta males and all that shit, but honestly most guys just want to do manly stuff. They want to play sport, they want to shoot guns, they want to climb mountains, they want to do that kind of thing. And it's not a lot of that available to most guys who grew up in urban environments. So you've got to find an outlet for these things, otherwise you go crazy and the world turns you soft.
Correct.
And nobody in the whole universe wants a soft guy in their lives.
Absolutely, I agree. And I mean, if you look back in, I mean, originally my family's from Zambia. I mean, you've got my granddad sitting side by side a rotting hippo with crocodiles around it with his leg on it, smoking a cigarette and drinking a whiskey with his gun lying next to it. I mean, you don't hear
tough
those
bastards,
stories. You know,
eh?
I mean, he's probably as rigid as I don't know, to nails. But
You know, the guys like that don't exist anymore.
No.
There's very few of those stories now.
And I mean, you know, I look at our friend group and the people that are in our space, and we thrive off moments like that. We thrive off, you know, going out to the bush, being active, seeing things, sunrises, sunsets. You know, not what linked on social media or what pops up there.
Yeah, please. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. I mean, it's what you do. It's not just what you click on or what you say. Or
the fantasy world that you live within.
Yeah, and so many people are happy to be like that. So Mo Rabbit says, I can't even clean my rifles in front of my dog. She goes into hunting mode and takes forever to calm down. Same effect with my hunting gear in general. So, yeah, and you find also, I'm sure you found this too, Tanner, is that when you talk about hunting, you've got to be very choosy about the company that you talk about it in. I'm not going to volunteer that information.
Correct.
And, I mean, I haven't been for a while now. You went pig hunting not so long ago,
yeah,
right?
So it's one of our activities that we enjoy doing in the sugarcane fields. And
some big bastards there.
100%. I mean, you lock horns with a big bush pig that's about 80, 90 kilograms. You're going to see the whites of your eyes very quickly. but I mean, that for me is a thrill. That's an adventure. Sure. I mean, you're taking your dog. That's what she lives for.
Yeah.
You know, those blue ticks. I mean, we offload about 40 of them, and it's just like this baying, barking, running, gun slinging adventure.
Chaos.
It's chaos, but it's organized chaos.
And the dogs love it as much as the humans. But the point I was going to make is you're not going to volunteer that into a conversation. Correct. If you're at a respectable cocktail party and everybody's talking about what they do, and, you know, I'm in insurance and finances, and I
do investment planning.
Do investment planning and shit. That's acceptable. Yeah. You're not going to suddenly go, oh, and, you know, occasionally I go out and shoot things, because then somebody in the crowd
is going to trigger.
I can't believe you would do that. You're such a terrible person.
There we go.
Like, come on.
But there's conversations you can have with people. And then, like you said, there's others where it's just left.
It's not worth it sometimes.
Correct.
You know, to choose your battles, and sometimes you don't need to fight with somebody. You know, it's like, for example, if and this happened to me. I mean, I shared the story once before. I went to a friend's birthday party in the Cape, and she'd invited some people that I didn't know so well. And this one girl was a history teacher, but she had the blue hair and the piercings and all the rest of it. And she made the mistake of saying to me, We were talking happily about history. And then she said, you know, it's my responsibility to mold young minds to be more LGBTQ friendly. And I was like, that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to teach history. Well, little did I know that I was getting into a major argument and altercation with this woman who ended up crying, and it was a whole thing, and I felt kind of bad about it for 5 minutes.
That's a long time for you.
For me, that's a long time, right? Anyway, I see lots of people here talking about venison. I have the best venison in my fridge from the hunt last July, says Bushveld Put. I do it every year, and I feed my family win-win. That's amazing.
Yeah, for the pot.
Amazing. And let's just remember, for people who really are against this, and listen, I don't have an argument. I'm not going to say that you're wrong and I'm right. Mm. There are lots of people in the comment section. There are probably people, a lot more of them, who are not in there, who are watching and listening to this, and they go, it's not really my thing, but okay, live and let live. And that's cool.
Correct.
Perfect.
Respect. Yeah, boundaries,
it's like,
yeah.
You know, for example, if you don't like it, I'm not going to invite you on that. Mm. And if you can also understand there's an economy in hunting, right, that there are overpopulation,
certain species.
Yeah, there's an overpopulation of certain kinds of antelope in certain areas. And if you don't cull them, you will end up destroying the vegetation, which will have an effect on the rest of the ecology and all of this stuff. And the people who do this professionally and the guys who own the farms know the stuff. This is their entire world. It's their business. It's the way you would know your budget for household expenditure, for example. They know how much they can and can't handle on a certain piece of ground. So you have to, you know, have to get a license to hunt certain things.
Correct.
You can't just go out and like fire off an automatic weapon.
And also, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head in terms of professional environments. I mean, you get a proper PH, you go to a proper farm.
Yes,
they've got certain animals or stock that, you know, like I said earlier, they're getting to their senior years. They've done what they need to do for their respective groups, and that's all on consignment.
And there are so many of these farms in South Africa. You say you use every part of the animal. Mm. A lot of the farms actually make sure that the local people who live in the area, some of whom don't even work on the farm or have anything to do with it,
supplied with,
benefit from whatever the hunters are bringing in.
100%.
So that they get the, you know, the skins, some of the meat, some of the all the stuff that the hunter might not want.
Correct. And then they subsequently have their own running business in that capacity.
Correct. So turn it into stuff, and before you know it, you've got an economy going. Mm. Bronwyn says, I find it noble to be responsible for the meat that you eat instead of picking a mass packaged polystyrene pack off the shelf. Sure, and it tastes better too, by the way. Mm. Most dog breeds were bred for hunting, weren't they? Says Raven. Our dog loves hunting with us, but he still sleeps in our bed. Well, okay, so I've got this little Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. There's no way that thing could hunt anything. Okay, she's...
Except their food bowl.
Well, even then. I mean, she looked at your dog when you brought her last time, and she's like, what the hell is wrong with this animal?
Yeah, very much
She is not a hunter by any means, but she takes down doves and pigeons at an alarming rate. Mm-hmm. For a little dog like that that's not meant to be doing that, they can't help it. It's their instinct, right? Yeah. The biggest turn on for a woman is a man helping with dishes. Do you hear that? I don't know. Really? Is that a thing?
Well, each their own.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing. Want to test yourself? Go and work in a busy kitchen, fit in, or find out. I still have venison in my freezer. Lots of people here who have this. Mention that you eat meat to a vegan or vegetarian, they get all high and mighty. I can only imagine how they'd react if you say you go hunting. Yeah, there are a lot of people throwing shade at the vegans this morning.
Mm. Listen, each their own. I mean, if that's your choice, it's your choice. I mean, it's a debate that could come about, and conversations for certain scenarios.
There's one comment here. It's more respectable to go hunting than to work at the Murray Stopes Clinic. Jesus, that's hectic, but let's go. All the Facebook tunnies listening now are wishing Auntie Ruda would come back to put Gareth straight because he's being very mean. Hugh says, when hunting, do you still need to prove to the owner that you can actually shoot?
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Do target practice before going out.
Absolutely. So you're, like I said, professional setting, professional farm. They'll take you to the range first, and they'll ensure that your respective rifle is actually on point. And if it's not, then they'll ask you not to use it, or they'll give you a sighted gun.
And then Bitcoin Boot wants to know, is James vegan? James, stand up for yourself. James, you're not a vegan. Huh? Yeah, rather stab your eyes out with spoons or something like that. All right, well, here's some animals that probably should be hunted. You know, people keep llamas and alpacas as pets.
For what
purpose? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just don't like other farm animals. But the thing with llamas and alpacas is their defense is to spit. So they spit at people. And here's this video that I found the other day of like grannies and children going up to say hello to alpacas and llamas. And
getting a bit of a liberty.
These grannies are like, okay, that was a terrible mistake. So I always like to see this because people don't know what they're dealing with. So here are some animals that probably should be shot. I don't know what kind of meat they are. I don't think I'll eat llama or alpaca. Tried. No, not in a hurry, but here we go. Take a look at this.
Hello.
She just falls over. That one does fall over.
Hello.
It's like a typical Turbic scene. They're having a good laugh at that.
What's going on?
Yeah, so don't terrorize the animals.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, some of them got what they deserve.
But... Absolutely. How's that woman with the food, and she's not even aware. She would last 5 seconds in Joburg.
Oh, yeah.
With your window open.
Yeah.
And then goes, when the stuff gets like spilt in her eyes and all over the place. All right. So South Africa is a pretty special place, not just for people who don't know what to do at the traffic lights, but here's a great video that I absolutely love. And it illustrates beautifully the kinds of excuses that people give at this time of year for not pitching to work or for being late. And this guy, I find his story very compelling. I think you will too. I don't know how anyone can not believe him. Take a look and you'll see. You tell me your thoughts. Now, this is the guy with the excuse about why you were late. why he's late to his manager.
Hey, the lightning was hitting me, was coming fucking up. My shoes are run away. Hey, I'm fucked up everything. And then I'll crawl it with your house. You can help me or help me or moving at my home. Now, hey, I'm right now. But the storm was coming at your house, was hitting everything. I was hitting in my hands, at my back, everything.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Whew. Okay, so that's beautiful. The lightning should come and fuck up.
Coming through me.
It's beautiful.
Ah, wonderful.
So you know what? Use that. No one's going to argue with you, especially if you perform it that way, you're going to get the result. The manager's going to say, look, just get out of here. You need a break. Yeah. You need a holiday.
And a doctor. Being a bit cross-eyed.
I love it. All right. So apparently there's a council in the U.S. that has asked the residents to stop sticking googly eyes on all the statues around the city. The comedy eyes have appeared on statues and murals around the city of Bend in Oregon. It's a great name for a city, Bend, causing a viral sensation. Bend's sculptures frequently get adorned with seasonal decorations like Santa hats and wreaths, which the council does not remove. They've spent $1,500 on removing googly eyes from 7 of the 8 sculptures impacted. I think that's quite hilarious.
It's quite funky.
Those googly eyes are fun, man. Mm. Put them on anything.
Exactly.
People put them on trees.
Just creates a bit of some spunk.
Yeah. And sometimes you put them on your dog and it looks really hilarious. Then there's also, speaking of dogs, there's this lady and her dog. So again, everybody's in the Christmas spirit, starting to sing Christmas carols. Oh, there we go. Some googly eyes on those statues. That's fantastic. Should I love that? That's great. Good shooting. All right. So this is the old lady and her dog. This just proves the kind of crazy that Tanner was talking about earlier. When you have your dog and you're a little bit too involved and your dog is now a participant in your mania. Okay. So here she is. She's singing. She's trying to sing Ave Maria and then the dog joins in, but the dog's more dressed up than her. And both of them are terrible singers. This is exactly what you don't need for Christmas, but I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Ave Maria.
So impressed.
Dominus gratus. Ave Maria.
Oh, wow. Well, the dog did a better job. I'm going to vote for the dog for starters.
I reckon the dog was a better, sings Latin better as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a little bit more oomph behind it.
Okay, so Bronwyn says, when my husband was in construction, the laborers would often use the excuse that the train had a puncture.
I'm definitely using that one.
That's good. I love that to pieces. The video actually offended my dog, says Nikki. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be that poor animal. Imagine living with that woman. She looks unstable. Cheers, guys and girls. I'm off to work for Patrice Motsepe, says Slippery Pickle. The toilet is in. Quality control and plumbing is a free service of mine. Actually, my sister had a plumbing problem, and she's going to get a brand new toilet for Christmas. Exciting times, you know?
Well, we always try and get the worst Christmas gifts. So I've never received a toilet.
Actually, that's a fun thing that we don't do. We haven't done for a couple of years.
Correct.
But we used to do our Christmas party. And we used to, part of the fun was that you give each other the shittest gift you could find.
Within a certain price range.
What did you end up with the last time we did it? Can you even remember?
I just know someone got a toilet plunger.
Yes.
This is one of the...
That's right. There was also an AIDS test.
There was an AIDS
test.
Was
one of them.
There was human or adult diapers, nappies.
That's right.
Yeah.
There was one of those. My favorite thing was one year somebody brought, and I don't even know where they found this, a toilet roll cover with like a Barbie doll in a woolen dress that some granny had knitted. But you know, you used to see these in some people's houses.
Like the teapot warmer.
Yeah, correct. But it goes over the toilet roll, and it's like a really cheap, nasty Barbie from like a Krugersdorp store. And then this dress that the Barbie was wearing that goes over the toilet roll. Not good. And then I see people saying, oh, look, the real network, subscribe, motherfuckers. Well, yes, that's true. You should by now if you haven't already. There are also... here's someone. The Hawk Tour girl never came back online after she scammed her fans. It's around 2 weeks now. Well, what were you going to expect her to do? Because we know, here's what I think happened with her. I mean, the Hawk Tour girl, if you don't know by now, she's the one who was caught in that internet clip. She was interviewed by this dude, and then she said, Hawk Tour, you got to spit on that thing, and it became a viral sensation. There was merch all of a sudden, and then she launched her own meme coin. And basically, I think she was accused of insider trading because she dumped all of her stock in that meme coin, having, I don't know, she made some $50 million off of it. But you know what happened, right? It's like someone who knew this stuff came to her and said, hey, I got a get-rich-quick scheme for you. Are you interested? And she's like, okay, because she's like she's a bimbo.
Yeah.
You don't expect her to be smart enough to make good decisions. So she decided... I'm going to go along with this. And she was obviously told sell now. And she's like, okay. She's like click the button or someone else did it for her.
Yeah.
And now she's in big trouble because she basically ripped off people to the tune of like millions and millions of dollars. But I'm not surprised she's not going back online because now she doesn't know what to do. So she's shitting herself this Christmas. You would too if you just ripped off a whole lot of people. Yeah. But I kind of think if you invested in the Hawk Tour Girls meme coin, You sort of deserve that.
Got what you,
like, you should be bankrupt for the rest of your life, actually, if you bought her coin.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who would do that that doesn't deserve the punishment. I don't think that's unfair.
Absolutely. Go get a job.
Get a job. Correct. I miss Dr. Hanan. He keeps us sane. Looking forward to seeing him again on Monday. Well, bad luck for you, because Friday is our last show until next year. We start on the 6th, I think it is. Right, guys? Yeah, the 6th we're back, but taking a little break. Are you taking some time off?
No. I'm around.
You're working the whole way through?
Yeah, but I love December in Johannesburg when everyone goes away. It's quiet. There's no traffic. It's peaceful. So I've never really been a fan of...
And you just moved into a new house. So
I've got to settle in. And
lots to do there.
Putting up things and fixing things.
Yeah. Yeah, I also think that the holidays that people end up shelling out money for.
For this time of year,
I mean, accommodation is a nightmare, and
beaches are saturated.
Yeah,
holiday destinations are expensive.
Rather go away in February, March, even better.
Beautiful.
Keep delay gratification.
Correct.
Way better way to live. Who is the guest? Says lovely Lady Lee. Well, this is my friend Tanner Fox. He is. I'm occasionally now going to bring actual friends from my real life into the studio, so you can meet some of these people, because they're hilarious when, you know, we're like seeing each other at parties and things. So I thought, well, why not bring them in here to misbehave on the show? That's always good fun. Somebody else says here, the Real Network, what's the best way to get hold of you all? My Insta doesn't work. I DM'd the Facebook page. I think the best way to get hold of us is probably just email us, right? Just email James at thereal-network.com, right? There we go. Just email him there. That's a good idea. The guy who ran the scam is Howie Mandel's son-in-law with Hawk Tour. I didn't know that. But I wouldn't put it past Howie Mandel's family to do that. Oh, speaking of Howie Mandel. So I hate these reality shows, because I was on one where they bring people up who have talents. But I did see this clip just the other day, and I thought it was worthy of playing again, because – this is what's in the market if you're single at the moment. This is the old lady singing Tina Turner. This is the best you can do if you're a single guy in South Africa and you're looking for a really good partner. Okay. And then we'll talk about Simon Cowell, because we've got to talk about him. But take a look at this. She's terrific. This is what's available, boys. If you are looking for a wife, we got good news for you. Here's your number one choice. If you go on any of those apps, this is what you're going to get.
I just wanted to let you know I'm ready for our date. Where are we going?
Play the Tina Turner.
Somewhere posh, I hope.
Yeah. Yep. That's apparently what you're going to get if you go on. You know, she's got that's a great dress. She goes, how do I look? Are we going somewhere posh, I hope?
Good confidence.
There used to be places around Joburg. We used to go to some of them where you knew you'd always find a good audience, a target-rich environment.
Target-rich environment.
Of like divorced women who, you know, it's 3 a.m. So picky. She's not so picky. Like Billy the Bums used to
good
be
old
that
Billy,
place, right?
Yeah.
But now it's Katie's, Sir James.
Sir James, yeah.
And where's the other place that people go? I heard about this the other day. Oh, the Wild Side.
Wild side.
Yeah. But apparently that's also target-rich environment if you're looking.
Target-rich.
But this is the kind of, am I right, girls? That's what's available, just so we know. And I don't know that I want to get back into that world, actually, frankly.
No.
I think I'm okay. It's either that or the Hawk Tour girl. All right, so here's the clip of the old lady singing Tina Turner, which you also need to see, because this is the other alternative. You could go very old.
Okay.
All right, so if you're not prepared to go for the girl in the pink dress that we just saw, you can always go very old. And I know, lucky you, you're settled now.
I'm settled.
You've got a girlfriend, so you're happy.
I'm safe.
But for those guys who are not, and they want a holiday romance. All
holiday
right?
romance. You, December bonus.
December bonus. So you might have gone for that pink dress girl, but actually this is the only thing that's available. After she's off the shelf, this is what you're down to.
You're simply the best. You're better than all the rest. You're better than everyone.
want. Each time you leave me, I start losing control. Walking away with my soul. I can't leave even when I'm alone. Oh, baby.
Here we go.
Wow.
Sure. How's that, huh? When she reaches for the skirt, you're like, I'm in trouble.
Gotta get out of Dodge there.
Yeah, right. So, Flex, what do you think? That's specially for you, hey? Your December bonus. I don't know. Okay, so the other reason I wanted to play that clip for you, very seriously, we often have a lot to say about women who've had too much plastic surgery. We talked just the other day when I had Tanya and Sid here about the person who's done a bit of a better job on Donatella Versace. Okay, because she used to look absolutely horrendous. She still doesn't look great. She looks a bit scary. There's that Catwoman who also looks terrifying. Sure. So there are a lot of women who get bad plastic surgery. But can we just talk about Simon Cowell for a second? Because this guy, I really don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. So Simon Cowell became famous late in life. I think he was already in his 40s when he started doing Idol. And it was a great show for him. He was a music exec before then. So he was already in the celebrity
established
world,
setup.
But nobody really knew who he was. Unless you were in the music business and he was your record company exec, you didn't know who he was, right? And I think maybe he decided because he got into celebrity late in life, he needed to extend that for as long as possible and not age gracefully. Because I have to tell you, as much as we address often on the show, women who've had too much plastic surgery, this guy went, I think he fucked it up completely. And I'll give you proof. So here are a couple of pictures of Simon Cowell. Some of these are absolutely, just don't let the kids near the TV or near the laptop or the phone if that's what you're watching us on. So here, that on the left is what he might have looked like because he's almost 70 now, right? It's what he would have looked like if he hadn't had surgery. And sure, he looks like he's been boozing a lot on the left. But honestly, on the right, he looks way worse, if you ask me. There's the hair implants. There's the shiny cheeks. There's the really weird beard growth. And the eyes look animatronic.
Like googly eyes.
They look like googly eyes. Yeah. They look like those eyes on the statues. I mean, come on. It's not even a contest, if you ask me. At least on the left, he's like a kindly uncle. Maybe not such a kindly uncle.
Maybe just the uncle. There we go. There's your
creepy uncle.
Eyes.
But on the right, that's not good. Yeah. Okay, and just to prove that we're not being unkind, here's another picture. Okay, so
the back of the Christmas
tree. The front and the back of the Christmas tree. Think about this while you're decorating your house. Because on the right, that is actually a screen capture of Simon, and you really, I mean, you could see the surgery, it's not that great, and he's got lots of money, he could probably have chosen better. I just feel age gracefully.
Yeah, enjoy it. I mean, you're there to live a life.
Yeah,
I don't have anything to prove to
anyone.
I mean,
look at you in your late 50s getting a Burbul
look at that.
Modeling
I mean,
contract.
Life's just getting better. I can't complain.
When did you do that shoot, by the way?
So we've been doing it, I think it was in the last 2 months we did.
Because I think we entered you and then they must have called you and said.
So it was funny. I mean, you guys went and posted leg pictures.
Yeah, we shared
New
pictures
Year's.
Of you over New Year 2 years ago. And then the Oaks from Bootball saw this and they were like, yeah, done it. We must get you in.
And so? They're fantastic, I must say. And now we've got, I think it's a 2 year contract.
Very good.
So, no, awesome people.
You thought
you'd
given up the modeling.
Oh, there we go. You know, come out of retirement every now and then.
Raven says Simon looks more and more like Uncle Fester. The teeth always get me. Oh, yeah. Have you seen these people now who have got so much teeth whitener? They've gone for so many of those peroxide things that people do with their teeth that it looks, I mean, it's too white, right?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing wrong with having lovely white teeth. Everybody wants
guys looking at
like you do. Yeah. It's actually blinding. Mm. Just go back to, is there another picture? I think there was a third one I sent you as well. Okay. So again, he looks natural. He looks normal on the left. And that is how he looked before he went for the surgeries. Sure. That's not right on the right hand side there. I don't understand it. Mm. Okay. Have you ever been tempted to go for like the Botox thing?
No. I think if you get your wrinkles sorted out and you grow gracefully, like you say.
Yeah, the laugh lines, man. Yeah, I mean, laugh lines. If you've got those lines in the corner of your eyes, it's because you've laughed a lot.
Correct.
Really, really white teeth. Can age people 10 years? It should not be that white to the edges. It needs to be more see-through, says Raven. Hey, I'm not the expert here, but Bitcoin Boot says veneers. It's taken over in the UK.
But it's also taken over here. I mean, you meet a lot of people and they've just got these, what almost looks like Chappie implants. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like,
right. What's going on there?
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not a good look. So can we agree that we should not do a Simon Cowell, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, Jesus, it's 7:07, guys. Why didn't you tell me? Gotta take a break. Well, we do have rules on the show. Gotta take a break. Okay, so let's take a quick break here. We'll be back in a moment or two. We're going to get Brad in here. We're going to find out all about what the year 2025 has in store for you. That's scary to say 2025. Oh, my God. I mean, I can remember the millennium. That's how old I am. That's 25 years ago. We'll be back in a moment.